So let's take a look and say, what are the organizing principles or beliefs, I put here in your notes here, that are driving your life? So tell me, what are the beliefs, and on page 3 here, it says, what are the primary organizing principles or beliefs that our society conditions us to believe about what is disease and what is health? What do we have to do to avoid it? So tell me, what are some of the limiting beliefs that we get, or that maybe some of us in this room have had? What are some limiting beliefs you've had about health? Raise your hand. Anybody at all? Yes, ma'am.
Don't get near someone that has a cold.
Don't get near someone that has a cold. Right? Why not? Well, then you'll catch it. We're going to talk about that one. You're going to find out most of you eat colds rather than catch colds. Yes.
I used to believe that once you get sick or once you catch a cold or something, immediately take medicine.
Immediately take medicine.
I haven't had a in almost 2 years.
You haven't had a cold in 2 years and you stopped taking medicine. What kind of medicine would you normally take?
Whatever seemed good on the commercials, I guess.
Whatever seemed good on the commercial. Yeah. Very good. Somebody else, organizing principle. Yes, sir. What's a limiting belief about health?
Well, I think that milk gives calcium. I used to believe that.
Used to believe that. Good for you. I'm glad it's a used to believe. Because milk actually leaches calcium from the system, as you're going to find out today. Leaches it. People, the big dairy consumers have the weakest tensile strength in their bones of anybody. I'll give you the research on it. No question about it. Yes, some people are going, gonna take away my milk today? Just remember this, today is about giving you things. Today's gonna be about giving you a series of gifts, and anything that we get rid of will replace with something better that's still tasty. Okay, so you're freaking about your milkshake right now. Don't worry, stay with me. What are we taught is the source of disease? What is it? Come on.
Virus.
It's germs. It's viruses. It's all these sources. Well, I'm going to show you today what the reality is. And the reality is we are being treated in this country in a way that puts our health at risk very often. Now, am I attacking the medical profession? No. Let me give you a frame of reference. Medical doctors, again, work harder than anybody you probably know. Most people think they're rich off playing golf. I don't know too many that are doing that. I know most of these people have committed their life because they care about human beings. And they will give their heart and soul. They will do it at the expense of their own health, their own emotion, their own families. Most of them go to school for a decade or two, right? And during that time, as soon as they finally make it out of school, guess what they do? After paying for all that education, they now go totally into debt. So they can go start a practice usually. And then now they're running full speed trying to help everybody. I'm telling you, these are some of the most special human beings on the planet. I used to attack doctors because I saw the behavior that happened from some doctors. And I get so upset because I saw it hurting people. I don't have that feeling at all. I don't demonize doctors. Doctors are incredible people. But we have put doctors in a horrible position for two reasons. Here's a good metaphor for a doctor. A doctor's out there, cares about people, give anything. One day he's walking by a stream. As he walks by a stream, he hears this yell, help, help, help. And he looks out the stream and sees somebody drowning. Well, he's a good man. A lot of people just walk by and try and go get some help. Some people would say, oh, I don't know what to do, and freeze. Not a doctor. Doctor cares about people. He jumps in head first at his own risk. It's really strong current, saves the person, drags them out. They're full of water, pumps their chest, gets all the fluid out, gives them mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. The person survives thanks to that doctor's effort. But the minute that doctor finishes the one, all of a sudden, guess what the doctor hears out in the river?
Help.
Two yells going, help, help. Oh, my God, doctor jumps out in the river, right, grabs one, grabs the other, drags one by the leg, other by the head, drags them both in, brings them out on the sand, pumps them out like crazy, mouth to mouth to both of them, almost out of breath himself, and all of a sudden saves their lives. Phenomenal. But just as he's finishing, guess what he hears? Four more screams. Jumps out in there, four more screams. He's trying to help everybody, trying to do everything this human being, man or woman, can possibly do as a doctor to help them, drags them both in, pumping them, and while they're still pumping all four of them, eight more screams. In fact, the doctor's so busy helping people, he never has time to go upstream to see who's throwing them in. Right? Right? Yeah. They care deeply. Let me tell you, here's the reality. The half-life of the current medical education, according to the AMA, 4 years. What does that mean? It means that a doctor who's leaving school today knows more about medicine than one who left 4 years ago, massively. So 50% of the information has grown in 4 years. The bottom line is, these doctors are primarily educated with new information by the drug companies, by the drug salesmen, because there's no physical way they can do everything they're doing, help everybody, and stay educated, because we have 8,000 new drugs that have come out in the last 4 years alone. 8,000! And what's happening is we're constantly being told what to believe. And the people who are teaching us are the researchers, and the researchers usually work for which company? The drug company that's promoting it. We live in a society today that's better living through chemistry or surgery.